In thinking about the journeys of those that we love, I have also been reflecting on the many homes that I have had in the last 10 years. Oh, I love that there's new life in this space. There have been many wonderful homes, places of growth, times of discovery, seasons of discernment. From 2006 through today, if I am counting correctly, that would be between 7 and 10 homes. Pennsylvania to Colorado to New York City to Central Illinois to Maryland to Northern New Jersey to you in 10 years. The days of itinerant preachers are mostly gone, but for the beginning stages of ministry, they feel very similar. From town to town and pulpit to people, hearing the call to do this wacky thing called ministry, running from this unbelievable thing called ministry, to saying yes and then to finding out what it means to say yes, it moves you, both by spirit and sometimes in stomach and definitely in location. I knew I wanted to be a minister when I was 16. Now, remember, I was raised in a UU fellowship that split from the congregation I was raised in. A few families meeting in offices and classrooms and sharing space with other community groups. No minister, no sense of ordination or schooling, just a moment of recognition within my body, an understanding of myself that felt steadying and right, a sense of clarity and purpose and also curiosity and need. This is what I mean when I say I was called, and still what I mean when I say I am called. It's not a unique thing to be called to something, to parenthood, to computer programming, to teaching, to whatever it is. Ministry is not the only thing to which someone can know they have found themselves within the work of the world. But ministry is unique. It is unique in that it comes with a lot of secrecy and expectation, assumption, and ridicule, too. Forget that I was aghast to find out that I had to wait to get through college before applying to seminary. Wouldn't you have hired me at 18, don't you think? The number of times I have had to assure people at a party that they can, in fact, curse in front of me, that I may let a few slip myself. Oh, by the way, here is my wife. Not everyone knows what it means to enter ministry, to become a minister, to hold this title. And so we, as the Unitarian Universalist Church at Washington Crossing, as we enter a new journey for the first time as a teaching congregation in just a few short weeks, where we will welcome and make space for a student minister to discover exactly what it means to hold this title, it is important that you all have a sense of what this woman, what Sue Flynn, who is here today, will be doing here, and why, what it all means, and what is at stake for all of us. I also want to take this time to acknowledge that Charlie Dietrich, who this is his home congregation and found his call in this space, is back this morning. Welcome home, Charlie. He can keep me truthful during all of this if he feels like I'm describing it incorrectly. So Unitarian Universalists are congregational. You know this, whether or not it's by name, you know this. It's why we are democratically run, that we vote as an illustration of membership, why the minister holds some, but not the ultimate authority. It's why we rely on you to give financially, why we are run by the people, by the congregation at the local level. This may be the most important thing that you remember today, because everything else is built off of this, of being of the people. The next really important thing for you to take home today is that there are two parts of becoming a minister: ordination and fellowship. Okay, everybody with me still? Ordination and fellowship. And ordination is a little easier because I think you can picture this. Because we are congregationally governed, it also means that one's call to ministry must be recognized, must be affirmed by the people, by the congregation, in order for it to be considered real or true. I could go around telling every person in the world that I am a UU minister, but if that call has not been recognized in some formal way, through ordination, through the affirmation of the people, it's not true. Now, any one of you could say in this congregation, I am called to be a minister. And through our own process at UUCWC, we may say, yes, yes, this is true. We celebrate and hold dear what you see in your own self, and we see it too. We may ordain you. We may give you the symbol of ordination, the stole. If you remember, we did this for Carol at her 25th anniversary celebration. But here's the thing. This does not make you a Unitarian Universalist minister. This act of ordination makes you ordained to this community, not to Unitarian Universalist ministry. Did you know that? Then how do you become a minister for the whole denomination, you might be asking? Well, that's a great question. This is where the word fellowship comes in. Charlie, try not to twitch. Or what you can also think of as credentialing. Most people, but not all, begin with the process to become fellowshipped. That's the way you'd say it, to become fellowshipped. I'm going to skip over a lot of the details, but essentially one becomes fellowshipped, credentialed, only after 3 years of a seminary master's degree, between 3 months to a year of working as a chaplain in a hospital setting, either a full-time one-year internship in a parish setting, like Sue will be doing, or a two-year part-time internship, or an internship of a similar timeline in a community setting that is partnered with a congregational setting. All of this must be done before you go to see what is called the Ministerial Fellowship Committee, the MFC. And it is here that you essentially defend your thesis. You preach before senior colleagues, the one who writes the book, who write the books, our theologians, our UUA staff. After the sermon comes the questions that move through your expected competencies. When I went through, there were close to 20 competencies that were expected to be mastered, ranging from theology to history to anti-racism, anti-oppression, multiculturalism, to questions about your own mental health, relationships, and questions on age, authority, or all other points of identity. It is rough. In recent years, I was one of those panel members interviewing candidates for ministry, and it is rough from both sides. The years of hope that enter that room, the intellect that doesn't always pair with the compassion, the call that is there but not quite lived into yet, but also when it all happens beautifully, successfully, that hopeful student who entered the room leaves as a colleague. You get a range of potential responses from that ministerial fellowshipping committee. 1 through 5. 1 means you're good to go. We hope that you will enter the search process and joyfully serve a congregation. We hope you will purchase a robe that is the symbol of preparation and recognition as being of the denomination as a leader. And yes, I have done all of this. I just can't pick up my dry cleaning. A 5, we're not going to stay on that for too long. A 5 means we're telling you you can't continue the process. And even for those who receive a 1, the process does continue. That I don't have time for in this conversation, but that you will learn. When an individual passes the MFC and when they have found a congregation to be ordained, their home congregation, their internship site, their first congregation that they serve, it is only through both of these acts, ordination and fellowship, only then is someone a Unitarian Universalist minister. Did you know all of that? In November, Tara and I will pack up our little family and head to Maryland for the first time since it all began for me. My parish internship site was in Annapolis, Maryland, and it was there that I met Tara, where we fell in love, where I fell in love with ministry in a practical way, not just in the ways that I thought about it for 3 years in seminary, which is very different. It was there that I learned how to preach bravely because I was encouraged on by a congregation of people who were practiced in welcoming and loving and sending off intern ministers. I was only there for 11 months, and yet they opened their hearts and let themselves love me, let themselves be honest with me. They were invested in me. It was there that I learned how often I'd have to respond to comments about being a woman, about being young, about being a theist, about being gay. I learned there how to apologize for my mistakes and stay in relationship. I learned there how to accept a compliment and use it to learn more about what was needed. I learned what it meant to be a minister during that year. And in November, I'll go back to Annapolis and preach the sermon for my mentor's retirement Sunday. How do I thank him? How do I thank him for creating the space in which I could learn how to be your minister? You see, that's what we're doing in the year to come, in welcoming Sue, and I hope interns after her. We're not getting cheap labor or a student who can shuffle the unwanted work toward. Everybody hear that? We are preparing a minister to serve Unitarian Universalism and future congregations and individuals well, in the way that only this congregation can, by the beauty and challenge of our history, by the promise and grit that will bring us into our future. And in turn, she will bring her gifts to this space for 10 months, and I am sure we will feel them after. She will bring her curiosities that will help us clarify who we are. She will bring joy and excitement and rejuvenation to places that are worn or tired or just need some attention and love. She will bring her process, and it will become our process, and we will all be the better for it. One story to end on. While in my interview at Annapolis for the internship, during the large group with the search committee, there was one man who, still to this day, I will never forget, and mostly because I'm sure he didn't like me. He didn't like my theology, he was uncomfortable with my age, I'm sure there were other things. But the important point is, at one point, he asks, so if you could put a flag out on our lawn, the Annapolis congregation is set really far back, like an acre and a half, so nobody knew the church existed. And then there's Unitarian Universalism, which people don't really know about. So if you could put a flag out on the lawn to let people know who we are and what we're about, what would it say? He wanted a word, a phrase, something that would fit on a flag. So this is at the very tail end. This is the last question that I'm being asked, and I'll just set it up by saying I swallowed the defeat of the 2 hours in which he slighted my love of the Bible and my choosing to go to a Christian seminary and my thinking I could be a theist and a mystic and still serve a UU space. And I looked him right in the eyes, only bold because I had resigned myself to needing to find another internship. And I said, universal salvation. That night, I went back to my host's house and I stress ate granola bar after granola bar, while hiding under the covers of this tiny little twin bed, picking the crumbs out of the sheets and just crying. When I was offered the position a few minutes after the weekend had ended, I stood there dumbfounded. It was in that moment that I learned my first lesson about them, about me, about ministry. All they wanted from me was to be true to who I was, to my calling, and to what I thought might do a lick of good in this world. That was enough to be their minister, even for a short time. And so I was. And now I'm yours. And I pray one day Sue will say the same of all of us. To the adventure to come, may we go in peace, surrounded by the spirit of love, wherever we may go.